Well, thank you all for coming tonight and braving the weather and the slush and the slow traffic. I'm Kim Garver. I'm one of the organizers for the Parent Support Group, and I'll be telling you more about Chad in just a minute. But what we're really excited about is tonight you get to experience Kevin Roberts live in Ann Arbor, and you probably have not seen anything like this, so you are in for a real, real treat. And a special thanks to the library for co-hosting this with us. This is our big event of the year. Both our parent and adult group get together with the library to do this, to spread the word. They will be videotaping tonight's session, so you can watch it again, you can share it with your friends, and I'll be including the link on our website. If you didn't get the yellow piece of paper on the table outside, that is our link for our Chad group. Make sure you pick that up. It's free to join, and all of our information is on there. How many of you, by a show of hand, know what Chad is? C-H-A-D-D. Okay. Well, good. Chad is a great organization. It's C-H-A-D-D, and it stands for Children and Adults with ADD. And it's a national organization that is designed to help all of us support those in our lives with ADHD. It provides amazing resources online. There's a national conference. There's local support groups. We are the local support group for Chad. And most importantly, they do a lot of political advocacy work to make sure that those who we love with ADHD are treated fairly in the workplace and at school. So that is a really important organization. Get on chad.org and you can join for a small fee and get all the benefits. Here in the Washtenaw County satellite for Chad, we have two groups that run at the same time. We have a group for parents of children and teens with ADD, and then we have an adult group that has really exploded over the last year due to our great leadership for that group. We run the group simultaneously, and they're done at the WISD building on Wagner Road. You can get all the information on our websites. Once a month, we usually host speakers, but on other weekends and nights, we have local coffee chats at coffee places. We have book club meetings, and we've even started a middle school group meeting for fun activities for middle schoolers. I do want to introduce a couple of our volunteers that are here from our Chad group, not only to recognize the hard work they do, but so that you, if you have questions about Chad, can talk to them after the meeting. For our adult group, that is run by Matthew Cunningham. He couldn't be here tonight, but he's an amazing young man, a great leader, and has really done such great work. Mike Fidel, Doug Harris, and then Suzanne Ostrowski. Where's Suzanne? There's Suzanne. Suzanne is a great leader for the group. She's also an ADHD coach in the area. So if you're looking for some extra support, that would be great. For the parent group, I'm the behind-the-scenes coordinator and the marketing person. Dr. Hammer is our school psychologist, and this is Dr. Hammer. She works with Dr. John Milanovich, our neuropsychologist, and they serve as our professional consultants in the group. So we are really lucky to have that expertise. We have two great local advisors. I call them our local advisors. They are so well known in the ADHD community. And Jerry Markle and Sari Solden, can you both stand up? If you guys want, these are the two go ladies right here. They are local therapists and coaches. They work with, they have really changed the field of ADHD for students and especially for women with Sari's work. So feel free to chat with them afterwards, too. We have a great group of people that volunteer. Nobody gets paid. There's no financial interest in this. So if you want a small group within a group and want to make connections and get on our volunteer board to help, any talent you have we'll take, and we'll put you to good use. So just see one of us afterwards. Now about Kevin, our amazing speaker. Kevin is a true Michigan. Kevin is a true Michigan boy, born and bred. That wasn't unusual. So you can correct me if I introduce you wrong here, but he is a true born and bred Michigan boy, grew up in the Detroit area, went to Catholic Central High School. There's some hilarious stories in the book about his time in Catholic Central. He went to U of M, and finally he has...
Residential College.
residential, and he is finally home here in Ann Arbor, away from his other home in West Bloomfield. So welcome home, Kevin. We're glad you came back. Kevin is an amazing educator. He is a tutor and a mentor and a coach. He runs coaching groups for adolescents in the West Bloomfield area. He is known all around for those groups. He is the author of now two books. His first book was on the cyber junkie, and the second book is out on the table for sale. That's what he's going to talk about tonight. It's about empowerment of those with ADHD. He's an amazing stand-up comedian and an international speaker. He's been featured on television and in newspapers, and he was the MC for the National Chad Conference just a couple of years ago. But what I really appreciate most about Kevin is his absolute honesty and his authenticity about his own struggles with ADHD, and you'll hear stories about that. But what he gives is such a message of hope and inspiration for all of us in this room, for those of us who have ADHD or love those who do. And we all collectively hope you leave tonight with a different way to think about ADHD and instead to focus on the strengths and the talents and to know about the challenges, but to really change the way we look at those with ADHD. So without further ado, Kevin.
Thank you. Well, ADHD, it's a very difficult topic to talk about, even for me, you know, because like many ADHD people, I'm often buzzing with energy. I buzz. I should have been born. I hope I am a bee in the next life. So it's hard to really, I don't know how to really begin. You know, I think what I'm going to do, I was actually conceived in Missouri. And what is Missouri? What state is it? The show me state. So how about if I just show you ADHD? Well, folks, here's a story about ADHD. I don't care if you disagree. I just have problems sitting still, and talking out of turn is my favorite skill. Heidi, 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 I. Heidi, 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 O. Heedy, 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 hee. Heidi, heidy, heidy, oh. I just have problems maintaining focus. The work of school seems like hocus pocus. I had problems with telling lies, but I'm a funny guy and I'm a big surprise. Heidi, 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 I. Odi, 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 o. Heedy, 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 hee. Heidi, 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 o. You know, sometimes I think there's nothing wrong. I just need a place where I can belong. Sit down and shut up! I heard all my life, but people don't know that cuts like a knife. Howdy, 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 yo! Skiddly boo, skiddly boo, skiddly boo, skiddly boo, skiddly boo. You know, I'm a bull in a china shop. If I were an airplane, I'd be nonstop. The nuns at school told me I was guilty of sin, and the doctor told me to try Ritalin. Heidi, 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 heidi Audio. Hee-dee-hee-dee-hee-dee-hee. Hadi-adi-adi-o. Because we've got ADHD. Can we get the PowerPoint up here, please? Here we go. So, imagine all that energy and then trying to sit still all day. Can you see what I'm saying? And if you were the person whose job it was to make me sit down and shut up, that would be a hard job indeed. Because this energy has to go somewhere. And I'm tired tonight, by the way. This is me tired. I had to drive in 2 hours of bad weather to get here. So I'm tired, nevertheless. So that energy has to go somewhere. And if you're my teacher or if you're my coworker, I'm going to piss you off. Because I'm going to have fun. I'm going to make jokes. I'm going to find a way to be irreverent. So that's the conundrum of my life, isn't it? Anybody else feel like that in the audience? You're laughing, so I'm assuming there's no greater indicator of truth than when we laugh. Isn't that right? I kind of said that like a preacher, didn't I? There's no greater indicator of truth than when we laugh. It's a gift from God. Sorry about that. I'm a preacher at heart. I am a minister, you know, in the Universal Life Church. I've married 3 people. It's true. It's very true. So let's just take a second, and I want to get a sense of who's here today and why you may have come. And I need at least one person under the age of 15.75 years of age. So who would like to join in? Who would like to tell us why you maybe decided to come tonight? Yes, sir. This is Phil Donahue here. He'll bring the mic. Tim, could you do the really make me happy? Yes, sir.
My nephew, I think he's 27 now, but I think he had this problem when he was in school. And also, I have a friend who's a lot like you.
Fun guy?
A fun guy.
Good looking?
Not good looking, but he's fun. And a long time friend, I always wondered what was wrong with him, and now I think I know.
Hey, but he's being honest. You know what? Let's give him a round of applause. Because, you know, I can tell when somebody's asking, what's wrong with him? I can feel it in my bones. And so what this gentleman has done is he's been honest about it, and now we can move on. Now we can, because we all have ugliness. We all have things, you know, judgments. This man has helped us in our work because he's being honest, and I appreciate that. So thank you very much. Could somebody in this quadrant tell us, because we don't want Phil here.
Oh, I'm fine. Anyone can. Sure.
You're fine? Okay, yeah. Could somebody in the far corner.
Here. Hi. I'm here as at least a third generation person with ADD, ADHD, maybe fourth. I just don't know for sure back that long. I have siblings with ADHD, children, nieces, nephews, father, grandmother. It's a deep specialty in my family. We are
any second cousins twice removed.
It's very possible.
Okay.
I have interviewed
you.
Them all. And I'm here as a professional as well. I work with young mothers with babies and toddlers and see a lot of what I believe are possibly unidentified mothers and fathers coping with being family for the first time and the struggles that they arrive at. And
well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to like 4 more people. And these have been really good sharing.
Just raise your hand. I'll come right over.
We want somebody from that side of the room because he doesn't need his
exercise. I want to run over there, yeah. Raise your hand. Here we go.
That's Kat. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Everybody say hi, Kat.
Because I'm Kat and I have ADHD. And that's why I'm here.
And this is my mom.
Hi. Hi, Mrs. Cat.
And, to be further empowered.
Thank you very much. Anybody, is there a younger person here? Okay, we got a gentleman right there.
I came here because I always talk in class. And I, half the time, I'm not listening, and I'm hanging out with my friends.
And how does the teacher feel about that?
Well, she's, like, my best teacher, and she doesn't like it.
And don't you want to ask me how I feel about it?
Yeah.
Well, you got to ask me then.
Well, how do you feel about it?
I think it's normal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And also because I play on my Xbox way too much.
And she knew that I'm a recovering sometimes cyber junkie.
Yeah.
What's your favorite game?
I can't pick one. I have, like, I don't know.
What game are you not allowed to play?
Halo 3. She took away all my games that I loved. Halo 3.
Well,
Modern
what
Warfare
you didn't.
3.
What's your first name, by the way?
Aiden.
Yeah, I knew that, but I just want everybody else to know. Aiden, what you didn't know is that you're really here for an intervention. But it's not you. It's your mother thought she was bringing you. We're actually going to intervene with her, and we've got a parenting expert for mothers right here in the audience. So we'll be talking about these games later. When we have our Halo tournament in the back. Let's just have a round for Aiden. Thank you very much. Let's get two more people so we can kind of figure out who's here.
Okay.
So I'm a mom of a son with ADHD and had no history or, you know, of working with people with ADHD. And so it was all news to me. And
how old is he?
He's 8.
Okay.
8 years old.
Great age for you to start. Wonderful.
Yep. So, yeah, and like Aiden's mom, you know, struggling with limiting all the video games and, you know, trying to get him to just do your homework.
Right.
Get it over with.
Right. I get it. I wrote a whole book on that. You know, actually, my book, Movers, Dreamers, and Risk Takers, Unlocking the Power of ADHD, should have been called Just Do Your Homework. It really could have been. So I'm glad you're here. You know, that'd be a great, let's write that one. Just Do Your Homework. We got it. All right, we're going to talk. Hazel, then I'll have my publisher online in the morning. We're going to get this one going. All right, let's go one more.
Okay, right here.
I came, I don't know, is the microphone on?
Yeah, it's on.
Because I don't seem to be booming like I thought I would.
It's an auditory illusion.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm busting. But I came because I'm from the Upper Peninsula.
Well, youpty-doody-youp too, eh? Thank you for coming. What part are you from?
I'm from right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm from the Wisconsin-Michigan border. I'm from one of the 3 counties out of the 15 of the Upper Peninsula that are on Central Time. So if you cross the bridge, you can set your clock back 50 years.
Oh, well, thank you. And I did my 8th grade Michigan research paper on Schoolcraft County, so I'm a little more up on the UP than most people, especially about Henry Schoolcraft and the copper mines. All right, well, that's good. That's very, very good. You know, I think we got a good group here tonight. So I think what is your name, sir?
Andrew.
We're going to take Andrew's, you know, because I'm going to tell you something. And I was talking to Suzanne. Where's Suzanne? I was talking to Suzanne. And, you know, how many of you watch Joel Osteen? Right? Okay. I mean, he's great. You know, I was telling Suzanne, but it's just like, well, God came to Conrad Hilton in a dream. And then he dreamed that he was going to own the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And then he put that picture on his desk, and he was faithful to God, and God gave him the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And I watched that, and I'm thinking, all right, I settled for Motel 6. But where's my Motel 6? It'd be great to own a motel. But the reason I say that is because it's real easy for me to get up here and tell you how to live your life. And I can come up with some great words. But, you know, I write books. You know, people are, he's hot shit. He wrote books. You know, he's actually published. Like, self-published? No, the real deal, like a whole publishing house. You know, and people project it on me. But, you know,
There are days when I wake up and I run study groups for kids, and the only thing that gets me motivated is the fear at 2:28 that, oh my God, I got a house full of kids, and the place is a mess. Holy crap, I got to get this place clean. And the whole day, what am I telling myself? I really want to get writing done. I really want to get that booked, and why can't I write? And this is how I spend the whole day. So I, you know, while I'm up here trying to, I'm not up here telling you how to do it. I'm still trying to find the answers. You know, and I don't have the answers. Conrad Hilton, however, does. 1-800-HILTON-4-HILTON. I'm telling you, he can hook you up. But I don't have the answers. I really don't. So if you came here for answers, I'm afraid I'm going to have to send you to the UP. That's why she came, actually. But, you know, so what we're here to do tonight is to go on a journey together and see maybe if we can find a way to support each other. And how can I support you? And, you know, coming here supports me because, you know, when I have a speaking engagement the day before, I'm never more productive. I got a bank deposit done this morning. I called my mom and we had a 45-minute conversation. I did my sheets that I've been putting off on my bed that have needed to be changed for weeks. But you see, if I have something stimulating in my life that's interesting, that's adventurous, then I can get going. But does that make sense? I don't have the answers, people. But what I can do is I'm hoping that we can have fun together and maybe we can lighten up and maybe we can support each other. And maybe somebody here could figure out how to get this lady from the UP plugged into some support up there if she needs it. And maybe we can find a way for Aiden to get his video games back. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, buddy, it's going to take school performance. I'm telling you right now. Face and hands. But that's okay because I'm writing a book called Just Do Your Homework. And when that book is finished, you'll be able to do it. No problem. But you notice how, you see what I'm doing, though? What have I done here so far? I've made you laugh, right? Did I plan my stuff? You know when that song, the words of that song were written? 1 hour before I went on in London, in Liverpool, England, last October. I was going to do a totally another song, and I happened to have that MP3. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rewrite the words of that. And I did. And I remember, and they're on a napkin, and it's going to go in my museum someday, that napkin with the words. But you see how my mind's working? Now that you're all here in front of me, it's stimulating. I've got all sorts of people. This is stimulating for me. This is exciting. But don't make the mistake of thinking that this is how I'm going to be at home tomorrow morning when I wake up and I've got my to-do list to do writing and to do this and to do that. Because that's not how I'm going to be unless I can have Jerry, Markle, and Sari Solden come over and kick my butt, which they sometimes do. But unless I can find some ways to get some support. Because a lot of times what happens to me is I get in a funk. It's a neurologically mediated funk. If you looked in my brain, you'd find that, you know, the certain parts of the brain weren't working and certain levels of neurotransmitters were too low for my brain to work. Or the bioavailability of those was too low. They're not lingering long enough in the synapse. I love saying that, by the way, because it makes me sound smart. So let's move on to the first slide here. And what you'll see is that I may not follow the slides exactly. It's called the ADHD way, people. Get used to it. Let's move. Can we? I got a clicker. Thank you. Well, praise God. All right, so we've already talked about this, but just imagine for a second. Everybody close your eyes. And remember a time when you felt angry. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So just imagine me in school. And I really want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine me in school. And I'm going to ask for a few people to share what is coming forward in your mind. Aiden, what do you think I was like in school? Kind of like you. Yep. Oh, what? Oh, got a microphone. Phil, thank you, Phil. Let's do it again for the camera. And here, I'll do the whole thing again just like I did. Aiden, how do you think I was in school?
Like me.
Like you, thank you. It was very good. Very well done. Notice how he tracked on that. I did a goofy one, and he's got that beautiful ADHD brain that's good at improv, and he did his own. He tracked on that. Nobody told him. His mother didn't whisper in his ear, if he does a funny voice, you better do one back or you're going to look stupid. No, she didn't do that. He's just got that type of brain. Improv. But, you know, when I was in my sophomore year of high school, he was talking about George Washington crossing the frozen Delaware. This is in my book. You'll have to buy the book to get the whole story, which includes him taking Trenton, New Jersey, and beating the Hessians, but that's another story. But he was talking about crossing the frozen Delaware. I'm like, Mr. Garlicky, if the Delaware was frozen, why did they need boats? Well, it was real cold, and, you know, it was very cold out. Okay, so he goes on. So anyway, Washington is crossing the Delaware, and, Mr. Garlicky, were there, like, little icebergs there? I mean, was there a chance it was like a Titanic thing? He's like, well, there may have been. Anyway, getting back to it, Kevin. So they were crossing, and Washington had the element of his surprise. You know, I heard, Mr. Garlicky, that he had false teeth. Were they like crackling? Were they like jittering, you know, shuddering his false teeth? And, you know, I don't think they had Polident back then, and the Polident remark got me kicked out of class. Because, you see, I knew about Polident because my grandma had false teeth. So, I mean, these were things I was thinking about. That's what call improv, Aiden. That's called my brain. I don't care what the teacher wants to do. My brain's going to do its own thing. But I've had to learn, Aiden, to be careful with that. Because if I'm not, people won't like me. And the teacher won't like me. And then I might feel bad about myself. Anybody else have an image of me in school? Except Andrew, no, because he already thinks there's something wrong with me. Yeah, no, go ahead, and I can take it. Jerry, I may need some support on this.
Disruptive.
Jerry, could we go behind the screen for a few minutes? thank you. All right, I let that go. That was easy. Disruptive, absolutely. Anybody else? Funny.
You showed up late. Did you have your work? No, you can't go back to your locker to get it and shut up with the kid next to you.
Right. And I was also known as... No, I wish so. I was called the boy without a school bag by the third grade bus driver. Oh, it's the boy with... That was what I was called. He didn't know my name. I was the boy without a school bag. There's only like four papers to take home. What do you need a school bag for? And you know, we had those plastic girly school bags, and I would always get holes in them because I would drag them across the pavement. Might as well just left the assignments at school, you know, and brought me early. So, anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to let Phil come. Come on, Phil, hurry up. These people are waiting. God.
Probably, sorry.
See, Kat's polite. You have ADHD? She's the polite kind. That's a subset. Daniel Amen, you know, he's got the six types. There's a polite kind. Type 4A. Yes, ma'am.
I just saw you darting all over the room.
You saw me what?
Darting all over the room.
I did. In fact, in second grade, the teacher left the room, and I was going to desks and doing like funny faces like this to all the kids. And I got to the end, and Mrs. Kibler was there, a girl's mother. And as I got to the end, and there was the momentum, she did a judo move and yanked me out of class and told me I better stop. So, right. And, you know, so it's a problem. So I had some people in my life. And how many of you are teachers? How many of you are principals? How many of you are principals of a Jewish day school? How many of you grew up in Southfield and are principals of Jewish day school? Okay, we've got a couple of those over here, too. So... Now, I grew up Catholic. A lot of people think I'm Jewish because I know a lot about Judaism. But I grew up Catholic. We were, you know, real serious Catholic family. And that's why the verse says, the nuns, they said I was guilty of sin. I didn't just put that in there because sin rhymes with Ritalin, although it is nice. But that's really true. Sister Raphael, you know, she really told me I was not following God's plan, which involves sitting still and doing exactly what I was told. That's what God likes. God likes you to sit still and do what you're told. It's a good thing Jesus didn't, you know, go along with that, isn't it, for the Christians of the world? But I had some, so here's what I want to say to you who are teachers, and really, what are teachers? They're part-time parents to the kids, okay? Let's face it. So if you're a parent or you're a teacher, I want to teach you some things, communicate some things about the people who really changed my life educationally. Sister Frances Cabrini, George Dufour, Father Ned Donaher, Bill Petrovich, and Jack, Blackjack Menner. He was called Blackjack. So here we go. So we're going to start with Father Donaher. So what I want you to do is I want you to ask yourself, what are some things that Father Donaher did that I could do? You know, if I'm a teacher or I'm a parent or I'm a friend, what are some things that he did that I can do? And I'll tell you what, he was my ninth grade teacher. Now I'm going to tell you, up to eighth grade, school was essentially an exercise in drudgery, boredom, and getting yelled at. You know, my impulses were to have fun, to create excitement, to create intensity, and I was constantly berated and scolded for trying to do those things. But what was it? It was simply I had all this energy inside. I want people to have fun. You know, people say, God, why do those ADHD teenagers not mind coming to your study groups? Because we have fun. Because I'm a nutcase. You know, imagine studying American Revolution with me. It's actually fun. So Father Donaher, I had him in ninth grade. He was part comedian, part vaudeville song and dance man, and he had emotional regulation issues. Probably ADHD. And you never knew what he was going to do. You know, how did Father's class go? Oh, man, he was pissed all morning. And then we'd show up in the afternoon. He was as happy as a clam. You know, and he'd make you do things like I knew the Bible because my mother made us learn the Bible, the Old Testament. And so he would ask questions that I would know that nobody else would know because of my mother. And when you knew an answer, like I remember the first one I got, isn't that, now this is crazy. I'm 44. I remember something when I was 14, and it may seem inconsequential, but he said, Jonah went to the city of, and he wasn't asking a question, but I thought it was a question. I'm like, Nineveh? And he said, how did you know that, boy? And he said it in a southern accent because he was always doing accents. And he made me come up to the front of the room and pant and bark like a dog, and then he gave me licorice whips. And the longer I did, I got like 6 licorice whips for panting and barking. I mean, who does this? He'd probably be locked up today. In Ann Arbor, for sure. The helicopter mom's around here is like, have you done a background check on Father Donaher yet? Thank you. Glad you guys got that one. But school became, instead of predictable, mundane, and rote, school became exciting. I didn't want to miss this guy's class. Weird. I'm a hyperactive ADHDer. Never wanted to miss this guy's class. Here's the bizarre thing. I used to get C's and D's, and in the classes I was successful at cheating, and I got B's. So, and that's true. Andrea Areola, Janice Belinsky, and Maureen Michaels, I copied everything from those girls. I love those girls. It's true. They're wonderful girls, and they always did their homework, and I didn't. So, but I went from that, getting in trouble, having lunch with Sister Phyllis, and that's her real name. It's a good name for a mean principal, Sister Phyllis. You're going to Sister Phyllis. In December when he was correcting his exams, because he was old by the time he was a little older. I'm not going to tell you his age because then the people who are that age are going to be upset with me. But when I was 14, he seemed ancient, and he called my mother. On the 19th of December, because we finished with our exams. He's like, yes, Mrs. Roberts, this is Father Donaher, and I would like Kevin to come in and help me grade my exams. I went in, and I was his grader. Bizarre. Here's this kid that was, but with this guy. Now, how many of you guys out there, you know a kid or your child had the teacher? May have been the design teacher at Ann Arbor Academy, who I've heard very good things about. But raise your hand. If you had that teacher, Aiden, that kind of changed your life. So what I'm offering here, Aiden, is that how can we create more of those? Now, everybody's not going to be a Father Donaher or a Kevin Roberts. We're a little nutty with emotional regulation issues. But you can still do some of the things. You can mix it up. You can talk in funny accents. You can break the routine. You can have a fun day. You can have candy, or in Ann Arbor, carrot sticks and green pepper sticks. With maybe some low-fat ranch sauce if you're really well-behaved. But there are things that can be done. And I think part of the battle is how do we train the teachers, Aiden? Well, I like, right, and you know what their homework should be? Reading my book. This one, and just do your homework. Let's talk about some other ones. How's that for a hairdo? We called it the paintbrush do because it didn't really move. It was like an old paintbrush. And I'm sorry, I'm just reporting the information here. I love the guy. He's in my PowerPoint. Doesn't mean I can't have a little fun. I mean, that's a bad hair day, but unfortunately, it was every day. This is George Dufour. Now, I hated reading. I remember reading John Steinbeck's The Pearl. Oh, miserable. And I like to read now if I'm really interested in something. But I'm not, even though I'm a writer, I'm not a big reader unless I can devour a book. Like, how many of you have seen Schindler's List? Well, I've read like 4 books on Schindler. I'm writing a book on Oscar Schindler. And I devour anything on Oscar Schindler because he was ADHD. And if you want to learn more about that, there will be a book coming out at this time next year. This guy made me love English. Because he would allow, he had a mastery of teaching, and it was an all-boys school, so he perhaps had some latitude that every teacher's not going to have. But he would let the class teeter on the edge of chaos, and then Psycho George, he called it Psycho George, and he had this little placard that he would put on. He wouldn't say anything, and then he would put the Psycho George placard on. And if you didn't shut up and sit down and stop when he put Psycho George placard, he would go Psycho George. And he did it in a non-shaming way. Like before he went Psycho George, he would say, well, who hasn't had Psycho George yet? And they go, oh, Jerry hasn't. So then he would go Drill Sergeant Nuts on Jerry. And everybody, you know, would laugh, but then everybody would stop. And it was a playful way of managing the classroom. But the reason I say that is because you have to have, so if you're, you know, when if you're dealing with neurodiversity, you have to maybe, if you really want to appeal to everybody and you don't want to oppress the neurologically different. There's that book, you know, Neurodiversity. It's a wonderful book. If you don't want to oppress people like me, then maybe, yeah, I like how I'm using political language. We shall overcome, people. That's why we're here, isn't it? We shall overcome. But really, I did feel oppressed by the education. I mean, I used to go home and draw effigies on paper, and I'm a really bad drawer, but I would still do it, and then I would throw darts at the effigies of my teachers. You know, it's true. It's really true, especially Mrs. McMuldrock, who's called Mrs. Mulholland in my book. She's dead now. But she was a powerful influence in my life because I wanted to prove her wrong about me. So, but George brought some magic. George brought some magic into the classroom. Let's go on. Bill Petrovich. Bill Petrovich called Kevin Roberts vibrant. Kevin Roberts is vibrant. He's the first person that thought I was a writer. I thought I was just an imposter. Like, I got mostly A's my first year of school. I thought, well, it's just a fluke. I met him 10th grade, and he called me vibrant. And when I went to him a middle of the year, I said, when you call me vibrant, could you also call me a smartass? And he said, yes, but I prefer vibrant. And this guy asked me to be on the school newspaper, which I got kicked off of because I couldn't get up in time to make the 6:45 meetings. It's really true. I tried. I still can't do it. I couldn't do it because I can't get to sleep. I can't get to sleep before 12:30 or 1. That's the earliest. I'm still like that. Let's go on a little bit. Oh, Blackjack. Blackjack. He was a very interesting man because, like, how many of you who are ADHD or you who have ADHD loved ones or ADHD students, how many of you find that we have problems with the details of math? You know that line, the devil is in the details? Well, with an ADHDer, that's really true for math. You know, because, I mean, I remember I used to go in the math, oh, I know this. Oh, this is easy. You know, and I really did. And then I'd screw up the negatives, and then, like, one problem, I had the formula. I knew the formulas. I'm like, oh, that's this one. I'd mix the formulas up, you know. But I kind of knew the material. I was right. I knew the material, but I hadn't practiced it enough. And that's something that we ADHDers, it takes us a while to figure that out. But this guy, he ran what I call boot camp math. And so you would come in. For most of us, isn't math a rather low-intensity activity? I mean, for the most part. How many are math teachers? It's okay. You can sit with Andrew now. No, I'm just kidding. But math is often a low-intensity activity. I've taught math, and I loved it because I taught it the blackjack method. So you'd come in, and he'd be sitting there, and he was like George Patton. If George Patton had gone into secondary mathematics teaching, that's what he would have been like. Because you'd come in, and he'd be like, all right, row 1, 2, 3 to the board. And you'd have to hurry, because if you didn't get to the board, he would yell at you. And it wasn't like Psycho George, what was part funny. It was serious. And he'd go, all right, men, I got x squared plus 9x plus 6, factor. And you would see 15 students at the board scurrying because they did not want to invite his shrill drill sergeant criticism of their work. So right there. Math went from being an ordinary, mundane, low-intensity activity to something that scared the living daylights out of me. And for the first time in my life, without copying homework from Andrea, Janice, and Maureen, I ended up getting an A in math because of that guy. And you know, the kids hated him because he was tough and he was nasty. I secretly, mind you, loved every minute of it. And so what it says for me is that there are ways that we can take subjects that are more mundane and we can inject intensity into them. And I think that this becomes especially critical in mathematics and science. Because as we consider, you know, our ability to I'm going to be a proud American here for a minute. God bless the USA. But as we consider as a nation our ability to maintain our scientific and mathematical and innovative spirit, it becomes important that the way we teach math is able to grab and hold children and call forth their aptitudes in ways that maybe the ordinary teaching methods don't. And so this brings a point up to me. And the point is that what works for an ADHD student, a non-neurotypical student, almost always works for the general population. Because few kids are going to go home, yeah, you know, father, you know, this math is just too exciting. You know, I want to go back to just doing equations, you know, and watching the teacher at the board. This is just a travesty, mother. So I really believe that it's important from an educational paradigm that we find ways of injecting excitement into math and science especially. I mean, and English as well, because English is increasingly, you know, the characters are disappearing, you know, in teaching. Is it just me? Because when I was a kid, even the public school, I was always Catholic school, of course, but even the public school kids had, you know, memorable characters, and there just doesn't seem to be the same level of, and I don't want to be like, well, back in my day. Let's give her a round of applause. And let's also realize she's sitting next to the math teacher. So so I don't know what that's about. And if you want to have a conversation with it, Jerry Marco would be a good person to talk about that, as well as managing the demons of distraction, if that's something that gets you. So I really think that this is a broader discussion. And lest I talk the whole time, Lord knows I can do it quite easily. Lest I talk, let's just for maybe a 2 or 3 minutes, let's open up the floor to some questions or some outrage. You know, because if we get some outrage, we could have like a, you know, like a Jerry Springer kind of thing going here. Who has a question or a comment that's bubbling up?
Okay, right over here.
Andrew, you're about to be cut. You're cut off, man. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad. I'm just kidding you. I'm glad you're participating. All right. Yes.
Okay. My name is Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. I go by Lit.
Hi, Liz.
Lit.
Lit.
With a T. L-I-T.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of humor tonight, but I'm seeing sort of a serious outcome to people experiencing ADHD. I have never been diagnosed, but, you know, with all of my characteristics, I'm pretty sure that that's what I had. I also had a second grade experience where the teacher told everyone to sit down right now, and I sat down in the middle of the floor and, you know, not right there. And that was kind of characterized my whole school experience. But when I taught, I also ran into problems where my creativity sort of got me in trouble with the administration. So I still continued having experiences that way. And even the kids are sort of in that whole paradigm of the way things are supposed to be. So I wasn't always successful with all of the, you know, my bag of tricks that I brought there. I was one of the teachers who was filtered out of the system through layoff. And as a result, I lost my home and am now living homeless. And I'm finding that the ADHD trait sort of I find it really sort of predominant in this community, in the homeless community, because there are a lot of people who haven't been able to do the mainstream thing. And for me, I ended up missing days due to conflicts with administration. And now that I'm out here, I find that it's problematic because there's so much you have to negotiate getting through the world. You wash here, you know, you do laundry another place. And with the ADHD, it's sort of, I see some people do it successfully and other people not. So I'm trying to focus all of my positive energies, the creativity, and long story short, I've started an organization for persons without homes. So I think that has benefited me in some manner.
And have you been participating in the adult ADHD group here?
It's the first time I heard of it.
Well,
actually,
that's wonderful. I think
so
you're in the right place.
I kind of feel like I'm home.
Well, no, I feel like you're home, too, and I think there's probably...
Excuse the pun, but, you know.
I like it. Yeah. I like your pun. But I think there's some people here that could get involved with you, and I sense a lot of, like in a lot of us ADHD people, I sense a lot of passion in you, and I sense a lot of passion to right some wrongs in the world. And I tell you, if there's a group of people who are about righting wrongs, we're it.
Awesome.
We're really it. So thank you. Yeah. And let's give a round of applause, because that.
Thank you very much. I wrote a rap, too, about being homeless. So hopefully,
pardon me?
I said I wrote a rap about being homeless, a homeless teacher. So I hope I can upload that pretty soon.
Do you want to do it right now?
Oh, man. No, really, I did.
You don't have to. You can say no.
I went to a recording studio, so there's going to be kind of a little this to hear it. But I hope to have it uploaded and people can check it
well,
out.
Well, I'd invite
it's called
you
homeless teacher
to
rep.
Make sure you keep in touch with these guys, and then let's get that
awesome.
Out to everybody.
That'll be nice, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Liz.
Okay.
I really appreciate
awesome. Thank
your...
Thank you.
And, you know, I found in my life that ADHD people, I don't know exactly why, but we often have a lot of courage, and you demonstrate that. And thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing. And you are, I feel you are home, too. Thank you.
We have something right here. Okay.
One thing that I noticed, I always felt like I was stupid. Certainly compared to my siblings, I felt stupid. They seemed to mainline. And I was raised, like you said in the book, about always being told that I had the capacity, but I was never doing, you know, living up to it, so to speak. So that's been kind of very detrimental. I just found out, I was tested a couple times because I thought I must have a learning disability if I'm capable of doing something but not able to actually perform, you know. And I ended up finding out that my IQ is 125. So I'm not even,
you're
not stupid. So
seriously above average. You're seriously, you're close to the gifted range. So,
but never able to perform or to, you know, make it work for me, so to speak, you know.
So can I just respond to what you said quickly? The thing that I think is crucial with what you said is support. Because like I say, I wish I had a camera for you guys to all watch me in the morning tomorrow, because I'm in my element right now. You know, if my life could just be like the Oprah, if I could just be like Oprah and just be in that studio all the time, I'd be great. In fact, I would like to have my own TV show, to be perfectly honest with you. But I need support. I cannot do it alone. And you know, you've got a wealth of wisdom in this community right here in this room. And we need to support each other. We need to plug in. And, you know, one of the things that you and Lit both touched on is the shame. Because one of the things I've had to deal with is feeling like there's something wrong with me. You know, like I didn't necessarily feel stupid, but I just felt like, you know, God, something's not quite right with me. And, you know, I suppose in a manner of speaking, it's true. But the other side of that, how can the way I am be used to the maximum benefit? And then I find that I can do great things with the way I am, but I grew up in a system that told me I was wrong. So that shame, coming out of shame, and I know Sari, who's up here, has done a lot of work on shame so forth. So just please, you know, keep coming. You're telling your story. You're being honest and fine. Don't just tell your story, because that's what I'm doing right here. This doesn't change a damn thing, right, what I'm doing. This doesn't do nothing. But if we band together and if we support each other and if we keep coming back and if we call each other and if we find a way to out of our funk, and if when we're in our funk we pick up the phone or we go visit somebody or even an email, then we can move forward in our lives. But I can't do it alone. And I'm going to take a leap of faith. I don't think you can either. So let's have another one or two. This is great. This is, by the way, when I come and speak, this is what I like. When I have people honestly, openly sharing and coming up with truth, this is what it's all about. Yes,
hi,
ma'am.
I'm Patty. And
hi, Patty.
I found out a couple of years ago that I was diagnosed with ADHD. And it's very hard for me being here right now and hearing the people, people talk about this is helping me understand a little bit more. I like the way that I think outside of the box. You had mentioned about going to school, and you would go into detail and really go down to the crack in the dentures or the teeth.
And the lack of polynet in the 18th century.
That's right. And that's the way I thought. When I was young, we had, you know, the questions. If you pulled two apples from the tree, put it into the wagon or whatever, I just sat there and circled the answers because I didn't know what they were. Didn't make sense. So I'm just trying to find out a little bit more. A good example is I can achieve in certain things, but other things it's just really chaotic. And I like chaos. That makes it really exciting for me.
That's a great point. And we're going to get in. If I do get to my slides, we're going to get into that.
The thing that really.
And I don't really care if we do, but might be interesting.
The thing that really hit me just recently, a couple days ago, is I forget about appointments and that, and I do have the phone. I put it into the calendar. I have beepers going off. I've got the alarm clock also set to remind me, and I forget. And then I had decided to, I don't know why this idea popped in my head, but I wanted to hide my keys in my apartment. So I hid my keys. I had finally just got everything organized. Organizing things, I can do to a T like OCD, but then I can't remember where I organized it. And then, well, I hid my keys, and I had two things that I was supposed to do the next day. And one canceled, thank God, because for 3 hours that night, I looked straight, tearing apart my apartment that I just organized. The next day, my friend was flying in from, DTW, and I still couldn't find the keys. 4 hours later, I tore everything apart. And as I sat down, there's this one pillow. I don't even know why I put a pillowcase over it, because it's not even fluffy enough to put your head on. I moved it, and something heavy was in the pillowcase, and it happened to be my keys. And that was 7 hours, a little over 7 hours straight of looking for keys.
So, people, the big thing here is don't hide your keys in a pillow. I want everybody right now to commit to that. Thank you very much. And you're among friends. You're among friends here. Okay, we're going to get to my slides for a little bit. Let's go. And here are some of the messages. Oh, do we have Sister Frances Cabrini. How do you like that? It's not complete without a nun, you know, when you're, we're not going to go, we're going to move on. But these are some of the messages. You have gifts. Your energy is a good thing. You can do it. You're vibrant. You're funny. There's something special about you. Here's what my mother used to tell me. God has something very special in mind for you. Now, for a Catholic, that's one step away from telling a boy he's Jesus. But it didn't quite go to that level. But it worked. I never forget that. And I always believed in that. You're creative. You're unique. So it's important to plant those messages at an early age. All right, so we're going to move in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about neurobiology. Because, you know, Patty, I better not stray far from, I don't really need a microphone. They're videoing this, though, so I'll behave. You know, Patty, the problem is that when we get down to it with ADHD, you know, there are some differences in the size, volume, shape, structure, wave pattern activity, genetic variants that are all linked to ADHD. Doesn't mean everybody has them, but they're all linked. And there are hundreds of studies, and this isn't like three studies, this is like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, okay? There's strong genetic links. We know genes that are gene variants that strongly associate with ADHD. A lot of them are related to the way the brain uses dopamine and the way it's transported and so forth, and different structures of the brain. ADHD traits. Now, you were telling me that with your son, the Just Do Your Homework son, that he's kind of an anomaly, that there's not a lot of stuff in the family. In my family, everybody's ADHD, and we love it. But it runs in families. And in families where one person is diagnosed ADHD, there's a stronger likelihood, I think it's 50% chance that a sibling will have ADHD. And then here's the kicker. The kicker is that ADHD traits run in the family. So you may not have, you know, somebody may not have six of the ADHD traits, but in families where one person has ADHD, a lot of the family members will have like two, three, maybe four. So the traits, not just the disorder, because the disorder is defined as how many symptoms you have in the, you know, in the cluster, how many traits you have in the cluster of symptoms. So if you understand the true neurobiological nature of ADHD, it really arms you. If you want to talk about the truth, like Joel Osteen does, you could have your own hotel. But no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, would you go, this is my favorite example. Would you do this to a child who had an affliction? What do you mean you're having low blood sugar? I told you to take your insulin. God! Can your adrenal glands work better? You wouldn't do that. But when you have an 80, that's all right, take a minute. There you go. I do like that one. Because see, you know why I do that? Not just because it's funny, because see, that allows me when I'm being serious to blow off that steam. Because when I'm serious, there's constantly like a little demon in my head that's trying to get me to be funny. So I have to blow off that steam. But with an ADHD child, we're more than willing to yell at that child for ADHD traits. Right, Aiden? I like that kid. I'm glad you came. I have two Xboxes. And they both work, too. But that's the interesting thing. I mean, when you go into these meetings with your son's teacher or your daughter's teacher, you need to have this information. You know, you need to be able to say things. You need to be able to talk about the caudate nucleus. How many of you have heard of the caudate nucleus? How many of you are radiologists in the Ann Arbor area and you have heard of the caudate nucleus? Thank you. I always like to appeal to the subgroups within a population. So let's talk a little bit more. I love this slide, by the way. This is the best slide I've ever done. There you go. Okay, ready? All right, and then we got the brain. Our genes determine the structure and functioning of our brains, and then the arrow. Isn't that nice how that comes out? Thank you. But this is true. How is the brain structured? Well, it's in the genes. I didn't choose to be a chatterbox. You know what my first grade teacher said? Kevin is the most prolific chatterbox I have ever seen. That's true. Miss Franzak. I liked her, though. So let's talk a little bit about the brain. And I'm going to use one example. Now, I want you to write now. Everybody, remember this line? Put your thinking caps on. Raise your hand when you got your thinking cap on, please. Andrew's already got his on. So does our math teacher there. So if you could go home right now, and you could memorize this, and when you had a meeting, or if you're a teacher and you're in the school, or if you're a therapist and you have parents or kids or whomever or an adult in front of you, or if you're a homeless person and you're trying to start a group for homeless people, and you want to tell people what it's like to have ADHD and why it makes certain aspects of life, this example is killer. I have changed so many minds. Can you kind of see I should have been a preacher? Yeah. I am a minister in the Universal Life Church, and I have married three couples. I have changed minds with this example because I've got it ready. I've got it ready to roll. So let's talk about the caudate nucleus. The caudate nucleus, and by the way, it's associated with impulsivity, okay? That part of the brain is associated with the ability to control your impulses. So if you have that half second or second of reflection where you think, no, I'm not going to bring up the Polydent issue again because I got sent to the office last time. If you have that, you probably have a regular, typically functioning caudate nucleus. Okay? And the associations of the caudate nucleus with, when we say impulsivity, that's the negative. We also mean it's associated with spontaneity, behavioral control. So you can control himself. Okay? I have trouble controlling myself. Because I probably have an regularly functioning caudate nucleus, like Aiden. But it makes us more fun. All right. So let's go further. If you take children with no history of impulsivity and they get hit in the head, maybe snowboarding, maybe they get in an accident, and you do brain scans and you find an injury or damage to the caudate nucleus, and in adults, if you find damage to the caudate nucleus, those people become impulsive. Very interesting. Those people with an injury to that part of the brain become impulsive. Now, I'm going to go further. This is not the end, people. Irregularities in the size and shape and symmetry of this area, and it's only been studied in ADHD boys extensively, strongly associated with impulsive ADHD boys. And the most salient feature, I love that word, by the way. It's a great word. It means it sticks out. I love that. The most salient feature of the study is when one side, because the brain has two sides to it, when one side has a different shape than the other, when there's an asymmetry there, then those boys are much more likely to be impulsive. That. And were this the only example like this, maybe it wouldn't be that compelling. But that's compelling. That is compelling. The reason that I like this one is because I happen to have some impulsivity issues, and I want to make a T-shirt and that says "Don't worry, I have an irregularly functioning or atypically functioning caudate nucleus." And I'd like to put the brain on there. I want to do that T-shirt. I have the design made up. So I want you to, and you're going to have my email. I have cards if you want to get my email. And I want you can email me, and I'll send this to you. I'll send you the studies, by golly. Because I want you to be armed with neurobiology. Because I'm telling you, most of the people that you're going to run into have no idea about this. No idea. So let's move on a little bit. You've DRD4, the 7-repeat allele, DAT1. These are dopamine. One's a dopamine receptor gene. One's a dopamine transporter gene. Now, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you are familiar with the dopamine connection in ADHD? All right. Now, before we say anything, the brain is a very complex organ. And we can only peer so far into the brain at this point. ADHD is a remarkably complex condition. It's a polygenic condition, which means more than one gene lots of genes are involved. That's for sure. That's why one ADHD person shows up differently. That's why oftentimes ADHD girls have some unique ways that ADHD shows up, for example. But the reason we talk a lot about dopamine is because the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is the brain's Obama, it's the president of the brain. It's the part of the brain that is responsible for executive functions, planning, organization, impulse control, long-term consequences. It takes place in the prefrontal cortex. And we know that part of the brain, number one, when we, you know how you see those brain scans and there's like, you know, they've got like the different, like, look at this area of the brain lights up in a normal person, but in an ADHD person, look, it doesn't light up as much. Well, oftentimes it's the prefrontal cortex that they're measuring, and that's where the executive functions are housed. That part of the brain happens to be heavily innervated with dopamine receptors, and there are dopamine loops that are known to function atypically in ADHD people, but it's much more complex than that. Much, much more. The stimulant drugs, they are, to a large extent, dopamine reuptake inhibitors. What's an antidepressant? Most of them are serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That means instead of the serotonin getting vacuumed up real quickly, you're ready for this? This is a good one to know. It lingers longer in the synapse. You may use that, by the way. It lingers longer in the synapse. Well, that's kind of what these stimulant drugs do for ADHD. Okay? And then if you want to go the neurotransmitter route, how many of you have heard of Strattera? And the stimulants work on norepinephrine too, but Strattera is more of a specific to norepinephrine. And these are all what? Neurotransmitters. They impact how efficiently the neural networks of the brain work. Anybody bored by this? So I want you to consider that. I want you to consider the neurobiology of ADHD. Because when you consider that and you take that out into the world, you will be armed with some very good knowledge that other people will be like, oh, what? Oh, I didn't know that. What's a caudate nucleus? Huh? What? And if you get the people you're dealing with to have a what response, then you're going to be able to manipulate and control them to your own devices. So we're going for the what? And I'm going to count to three, and I want you all to do that with me, okay? And I'm going to do it one more time. What? So we're all going to do it. One, two, three. Huh? Exactly. That's what we're going for with all of this information. Okay? So, certain part... How are we doing on time?
About 10 more minutes.
Madre mía!
Yeah, so...
Íbamos a hacer algunas partes de la presentación en español. By the way, we have two people from Colombia. Could you guys stand up? This is an international presentation. Let's give them a round. They're from, not Colombia, but... Colombia. Let's do that together. Ready? After me, Colombia. All right, now enjoy it and kind of do a Latin shoulder thing. Colombia. Okay, good. We'll work on that after, too, along with the, what? You are Colombian? What part are you from? Ah, Bogota. Perfecto. Santa Fe de Bogota. Okay, so I love Spanish, by the way. I love it. So, so we only have 10 minutes left. God, it goes by fast, doesn't it? Don't you? Now, I want to tell you something. If I can sit for an hour and 20 minutes, and that boy who's met, do you take any meds? His meds have worn off a long time ago. And look at him. Now, I got to tell you, there's a way to keep that boy engaged. And there's a way to keep that kid engaged that's not going to shame him and not going to give him negative self-esteem and helps allow for him to get those video games back, which is my real purposes here. I wrote a whole blog about this. Wasn't that a good... I think that's a really... Yeah, because my nephew taught me all that. I'm telling you. Your kids put those headsets on, they are transported to a different world where homosexual epithets are de rigueur. Good French word, I like that one. That's what they're going to hear is like, and racist stuff. Your 9 or 10-year-old puts those headphones on, it's like going to the locker room. Actually, it makes the locker room language look good. It is vile. So your mother has an obligation as a 9-year-old to protect you from that. That's all right. Well, all right. You know what? You might not be getting those video games back as soon as I thought, actually. But you guys should talk to me after. But I think he's been remarkably well behaved, attentive. It's not an hour. It's an hour and almost a half. I'm really proud of you, by the way. You're awesome. So thank you for hanging out here. So I want to cover one more topic because I think it goes to, I can't remember who brought it up, and I think it's actually the next topic. Negativity, yay, 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 yay. So I think this is a pretty aware and knowledgeable group, and you all probably know that ADHD is a condition, from one way of looking at it, of an underactive brain. Now, is my brain underactive right now, Aiden? Right now, this minute? No way, Jose. I put that Jose in there because of the Colombians in the room. I thought they'd feel better about that. No way, Jose, because I'm stimulated right now. I'm engaged. A person who was not ADHD probably couldn't do what I do and engage a whole room of people and a 9-year-old like you for an hour and a half. But when I'm bored, when it's repetitive, when it's low intensity, I'm worse than the average, typical person. So One of the things that I and a lot of ADHD people do is I create negativity. Drama. Some of us are drama queens. And if you think about it, when is your blood pumping more? When you're negative, when you're upset, when you're arguing. And so I'm not real big on Dr. Daniel Amen's work, but there is one thing that he wrote that is brilliant, and it's called The Games ADD People Play, and that's who kind of turned me on to this, and I saw how it operated in my own life. I create negative dynamics in relationships because when I'm being negative, I feel more alive. And it allows me in boring, routine, repetitive, mundane situations to be more active, to be more stimulated, for my brain to be working better. And so what happens is, Aiden, people like you and me, if we get into that now and we're negative and we argue a lot and we're nasty now, when we get older and we get married, we're really hard to live with. That's what it means. And that's why your mom is so concerned, because she wants you to grow up and be an easy person to live with. So we're going to talk after the show. After the show, we're going to talk. Phil and I are going to talk to you. So I want you to appreciate this, and I've written some blogs on this, so we're kind of running out of time, but we unconsciously bring negativity to our lives to increase the activity in our brains. I believe this in my core, because brain research tells us that the brain actually is more active when it's negative, when it's being negative about something, when it's arguing, than it is when it's not arguing, when it's happy or when it's content, when it's relaxed. So we create negativity. I'm going to make it an I statement. I create negativity to get my brain more stimulated. Okay? And you know what makes me right more than anything else? When I hear in the media or read on the internet that somebody's got an idea that's even remotely similar to mine, and I go like, oh my God, they're going to get the book out before I do. And then for 4 days, I'm like, nothing gets me going more than that. That's an example. So I can use that. But when that I use it all the time, but when it operates in my relationships with other people, it's destructive. And if I'm bored in a class and I have as much energy, this is positive energy, but it can just as easily turn negative. And when it does, you'll be sorry. Seriously. And I want you to understand that part of working with an ADHD person is helping us find ways to turn on positively in relationships. And I've got a lot of ideas about that. Sari, Jerry have a lot of ideas about that. Wonderful people. And Barry and Carrie and Mary and Harry and Larry, Curly and Moe. But we're not going to have time to go into it because I want to take a few questions. So what are some – Phil, Phil, we got one right over here. Phil, can
raise
you do
your hand
me
so
–
so I can
Phil,
see it, you
Phil,
guys. So.
Tim,
yeah.
I mean, Phil, can you just for one, the last time here, can we go
oh, sure,
full
yeah.
Donahue, please?
But who is it? Who's got
it's
the question?
It's this lady here.
Oh, man, I got to go
around. Are you ready? He's doing
right,
the
ready?
Full
here
Phil
come.
Donahue.
Here I come. All
ready?
Right, ready?
One, two, three, and – yeah! Thank you.
Okay. This idea is the first time I've heard about it. So I was just wondering, like in a school setting at a younger age, what would be an example of negativity that would be common?
Talking out of turn, arguing with the teacher. I didn't do it. You always pick on me. He did it. Whatever, you know, arguing with the teacher, arguing with kids. I stole a girl's crayons. I've never admitted to it either, so it's true, second grade. All sorts of stuff. I mean, it can show up a variety of ways. I don't have time to go into everything, but it's a lot of it's in my book that just came out, and it'll also be in Just Do Your Homework, which should be coming out 2015 with Hazelden Publishing. Who's next? We've got a couple more questions. Phil, we go over here.
All right.
Raise your hand so I can see it.
He's
all
moving
right,
like
I'm
Phil
come
Donahue
right down
too.
Here. Here we go.
Well, you got to kind of be old to know who Phil Donahue is. I'm
so
old.
So can we help kids actually thrive in school, or do they just have to suffer through it?
Well, the Catholic in me wants to say suffer, just because that's the way I was raised. I think it's possible, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because we really need teachers to be trained. And let's face it, if you're a public school teacher and you've got 32 kids, you're going to have to make some serious changes to how you treat all your kids to allow that ADHD student to thrive. But one of the things that's really important is how we talk to our ADHD students and our ADHD children and how we deal with the problem. You know, my mother would always tell me, oh, dear, you're just bored. God has something very special in mind for you. God, why do I sound like Richard Nixon when I'm doing my mother? Let me try that again. She is not a crook. But, dear, you're bored. You know, God has something very special in mind for you. She's not real nasal, but it works. I mean, we need to train the teachers. We need to train the parents. We have to get the information out there because, you know, I'm going to tell you, when you're somebody like me who doesn't fit in with society, oftentimes, like Lit, you dream of ways of changing society. So your ADHD people are often the doctors of change. They literally are the movers, dreamers, and risk takers of the world. So if we can move them along with positive messages, with positive strokes, and find ways for them to feel good about themselves other than video games. Sorry, Aiden. I know you're probably very good. Other than video games, find ways for them to feel good about themselves and for them to develop their unique aptitudes, then we have a chance. And, you know, it involves something as simple as a parent educating the teacher, you know, and getting the teacher on board. And as Arthur Robin likes to say, shaping a shared view of the problem. Isn't that great? That's Arthur. Shaping a shared view of the problem with the teacher. One more question.
We had one question
which
right
means
up
two
here,
because
and then this will be the last one.
We're going to get
all right,
another
right
one,
here.
Phil.
So it seems like you're saying the video games might have a similar effect like the negativity in that they stimulate the brain and in a way that could be better, like maybe if the child was exercising or out in nature. So what other ways do you see that are positive for stimulating the brain?
You're going to do video games. Let's get, you know, Wii Connect. You know, some of these aerobic games. Let's get a kid who likes to draw in art classes. Let's get the kid involved in more sports. Let's go do laser tag on Saturday. Let's go to paintball. Let's get him in hockey. There's a great team in Chelsea, I know, around here that people have. And, you know, we just have to my nephew does Tung Sudo, which is a Korean martial art. I do enjoy saying it. And he's really thrived with that. And it's given him a sense of mass ability to, you know, attain mastery and, you know, move his body. So there are a variety of ways. You know, you may have an ADHD dreamer. And, you know, dreamers are often can often be the most difficult. And when I say dreamer, I mean that in an incredibly positive way, because most of my good close friends are dreamers. Because when you got somebody like me, you need the calm, reflective, imaginative dreamers around to balance me out. So that's what all my best friends are, what I call dreamers. And for those people, it often involves plugging into their world, because people like that, just like I have a rich world, like externally, they have just as rich of an internal world, and we often make the mistake with people like that we think nothing's going on in there when it's a whole different universe that we have to get plugged into. And those dreamers are often the people that have the greatest ideas. So it involves, and you know, we've got a mother here, we've got a mother back there, we've got some adults here, and it involves, you know, meeting and talking and picking up the phone and sharing Facebook stories, joining Facebook groups, coming to conferences, you know, holding an informational night, whatever, you know, whatever it is. But it involves getting creative. And, you know, and I was talking to Suzanne earlier, and I said, you know, look, it's real easy for people like me to get up here and tell you what's wrong with your lives and what's wrong with you and what you need to do to change it. But the thing that's hard is how do I leave you with a desire and a commitment to a transformative process in yourselves and in your the lives of your loved ones and your students? Because that's what this is about. This is about a transformative process. Because if you want to transform the way that you deal with your child or your spouse or your husband or your loved one or your students, you have to transform yourself. I mean, it's really true. I don't know anybody who is not committed to a process of transformation and personal growth in themselves that's ever that successful in changing the way they deal with the other people in their lives. So that's what I give you, people. You've got to work on yourselves. And then someday you may own the Waldorf Astoria. Thank you. Thank you very much.